Radio.
Faith, hope, and love abide. Benedict XVI and the Virtues Today. An interview with Professor Tracy Rowland. Okay, so thank you very much for joining me today, Professor Tracy Rowland.
Thank you.
Now, first of all, I just wanted to get a bit of an idea of who you are and what you're up to lately.
Sure, okay. Well, I'm the Dean of the John Paul II Institute for Marriage and Family in Melbourne. And I don't know whether your listeners know very much about the Institute, but it was founded in 1981 by Blessed John Paul II. And in fact, on the day of the assassination attempt on his life, On May 13, 1981, he was actually leaving St. Peter's Square to go to the Lateran University to launch the John Paul II Institute on that day. So the Institute was a special project of the late pontiff, and his idea was to have one of these institutes in every major linguistic region of the world. He wanted a postgraduate academy which would be devoted to the study of theological and philosophical anthropology, moral theology, sacramental theology, bioethics, and other issues which arise in different regions of the world which have an impact upon marriage and family life. So that was his idea. There are now 8 of these institutes around the world. And in 2001, Cardinal Pell established an institute in Australia when he was the Archbishop of Melbourne. So there's one in Melbourne. And my job is being the dean of that institute.
So we're going to be talking about really the theological virtues, as that will be the focus of a talk that you'll be doing later this month at the University of Notre Dame. So Pope Emeritus Benedict XVI really did focus his encyclicals on the theological virtues, so specifically Deus Caritas Est, Spes Salvi, and his major contributions to Lumen Fidei. Mm-hmm. What insights can we gain from these writings by Benedict XVI on the theological virtues?
Yeah, well, I think that, first of all, I'd say that someone who influenced Benedict very strongly in his youth was a German philosopher called Joseph Pieper, P-I-E-P-E-R, and Pieper was interested in the theological virtues. So if people want to understand Benedict's ideas on the theological virtues, then a good place to go is Pieper's work, and much of Pieper's work has been translated into English, so it's quite accessible. I think that one of the key themes in the encyclicals of Benedict was that each of the theological virtues has been mutated in our contemporary, very secular culture. So he tracks the way that faith, hope, and love become secularized. So he's interested, for example, in the way that faith becomes mutated or secularized to be something like trust in scientific reason. Hope becomes trust in material progress, hope in technological progress. And the problem he sees with love is that either it's regarded as something completely high-minded and not related to the body at all, or it's regarded as something totally sensual and not related to the mind or intellect at all, whereas he thinks that that love is something that involves the whole human being and that we need to integrate what he calls, or what the theological tradition calls, agape and eros, that those two belong together and shouldn't be separated.
So what does Pope Benedict's focus on these theological virtues, being the first pontiff, besides, of course, John Paul II, of the 21st century, what does it really say when he's focusing on these so much in his major works?
Well, I think that both Pope Benedict and Pope John Paul II were of the view that a major problem in the contemporary world is that people have lost an understanding of what Christianity really is. It's as if they've forgotten the grammar of Christianity or the alphabet of Christianity. And, you know, they have forgotten that Christianity is really about a personal relationship with the Trinity. And, you know, people tend to sort of overlook this really glaringly obvious fact. And so what Pope John Paul II tries to do in the very beginning of his pontificate is that he produces three encyclicals, which each individual encyclical focused on the human person's relationship with one particular member, with one particular person of the Trinity. So we had an encyclical Redemptor Hominis on the human person's relationship to Christ. Then there was one De Veris in Misericordiae on the human person's relationship to God the Father. And then there was one Dominum et Vivificantem on the human person's relationship to the Holy Spirit. And that it gives us a kind of macro level framework. And then what Pope Benedict does with his trilogy, well, in the end, it was Pope Francis who completed the trilogy with the most recent encyclical on faith, but it was drafted by Pope Benedict. So what happens in the pontificate of Benedict and is completed in this pontificate is that we're offered another sequence of encyclicals looking at the theological virtues. And of course, the theological virtues are central to our relationship to the Trinity. So we can't really have a relationship to the Trinity unless we have faith, hope, and love. So it's like, a metaphor might be one of filling in a jigsaw puzzle where you have the sort of the big picture and then you focus on the detail.
Does Benedict the 16th give any insight in how we can unmutate, if you will,
yes,
the theological virtues in current secular society?
Yes, I think so. He constantly talks about the need for Christocentrism. For example, when he talks about all the conflicts about interpretations of the documents of the Second Vatican Council, he says, look, you need to read the documents with a Christocentric accent. In other words, that we need to focus on Christ. And if you focus on Christ, then it's very hard to go down a secularizing path. So, you know, for example, if you take the theological virtue of hope, the problem he sees is that in contemporary society, there are a great many technological achievements. And he's not opposed to technological achievements. But what he observes is that people start hoping in that. In other words, they start to see technology as a kind of savior for humanity. They start to put all their hope in the basket of material progress. If you ask people, you know, what are they hoping for? They're hoping for pay rises, lower taxes, a beach house, you know, more overseas travel. It's those sorts of things that sort of tend to take over people's lives and become the dynamic in their life, the motivating force in their life, the reason they get out of bed in the morning. And Pope Benedict's saying, look, you know, all of these things are good in their own place, but for a Christian, what has to be central is the relationship with the Trinity. That has to be absolutely the core of a person's existence. And what we hope for as Christians is eternal life. And we must, you know, we must never get so caught up in the goods of the world that we forget that really what we have been made for is eternity with God. And that's the meaning of everything. And so if we start sort of hoping in a pay increase or hoping, you know, that if we do X, Y, and Z, we'll have a higher standard of living, that, you know, that is sort of allowing our souls, as it were, to become the servants of material goods. and that's just a recipe for secularism and for an impoverished spiritual existence.
So you'll be speaking later this month on a very similar topic at the University of Notre Dame, Australia. Can you give a bit of a summary on what you'll be speaking on there?
At Notre Dame, I'm also looking at another trilogy, which is what are called the transcendental properties of being, that is, truth, beauty, and goodness. And what you find is that there are lots of trilogies in Catholic theology, lots of threes, as it were, and that's really that's because of the Trinitarian nature of the world. And if you can imagine this, which is a bit hard to imagine, but if I had a blackboard, I could sort of describe it better. But the basic idea is that the human person has an intellect, has a memory, and has a will, and that the theological virtue of faith has a special relationship to the intellect, to assisting the work of the intellect, that the theological virtue of love has a special relationship to the will, and that the theological virtue of hope has a special relationship to the memory. And then you have truth, beauty, and goodness also having a special relationship to the intellect, the memory, the will, and to each of the theological virtues. So really at the University of Notre Dame, what I will be doing is really explaining these different Trinitarian relationships.
Excellent. Well, we'll definitely be looking forward to it. And thank you very much for joining me today. And I hope that your lecture goes very well.
I hope so too. Thank you very much. God bless.
That was an interview with Professor Tracy Rowland on Benedict XVI and the virtues today. Professor Rowland will be giving a lecture on the theological virtues in the 21st century at the University of Notre Dame, Australia on the 27th of August. For more information, visit orderofmalta.org.au. And for more interviews, talks, and shows, visit cradio.org.au.